Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them this morning to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll be in Luke and Matthew. And today, the message is entitled, Joseph and Mary, the Strength and the Heart of Christmas. Joseph and Mary, the Strength and the Heart of Christmas. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single. Some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids. Some don't have kids. Many here today, many watching us online today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together. And it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Well, we have been looking at our series, The Characters of Christmas, and really looking around the manger. These precious children have been helping us focus on the manger, and we're kind of highlighting the people that are the closest in tight, I guess, in the manger scene. And last week, we looked at the wonder of Christmas. The shepherds show us the wonder of Christmas because the angel appeared to the shepherd, to the shepherds, and said, fear not, because the shepherds were startled. And the glory of God showed to all the shepherds there, to the shepherds, and they came and they worshiped the Lord. Now, today, we're going to draw our attention a little closer. And today I want us to look at Joseph and Mary, the strength and the heart of Christmas. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, the scripture says this, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's not that much talked about when you talk about the life of Joseph when you think about Christmas. Most of us, we emphasize some of the other characters. But today, just briefly, I want to talk about Mary, but I want to talk about Joseph. Joseph shows, number one, Joseph shows a strength of character. Now, he was a man that the Bible says he was a just man. It says in the passage that he was betrothed to Mary. In other words, he was engaged in our way of saying it, but this betrothal was a binding for marriage. They had not come together in marriage, but were considered husband and wife. Now, all of a sudden, the angels really started appearing to Joseph. You know, there are actually four different times, passages, that we see the angels appearing to Joseph. Here in our passage in 1:18 and following, to reassure Joseph. And then in chapter 2, verse 13, to tell Joseph to go to Egypt. You remember, there was danger because of Herod. And the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, go to Egypt, and he did. And then in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, when Herod eventually died, the angel came to Joseph to say it was okay to go back to Israel. And then in verse 22, the angel told them to go to Galilee, and they went to Galilee and not right back to Judea. The Bible says in our passage in chapter 1, verse 19, look at that. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Joseph was a just man. The strength of Christmas in many ways is seen in the life of Joseph. The word just there means to be straight. It means to be law-abiding, upright in character, faithful to God's command. He wanted to do right regardless of convenience and circumstances. He gives us a model of leadership really in the home. God used Joseph in a very special way. He obeyed the Lord. He did not want to make an example of Mary, because in those days, Mary would have been stoned, because if she had become pregnant outside of that marriage and betrothal relationship. And so the Bible says that Joseph, being a just man, he wanted to do that privately. And then the angel came to him and told him, it's okay to take Mary as your wife, and he did that. Oh, listen, what a blessing to see in Joseph an example for husbands, an example for men. He obeyed God. This example is very, very important to us. Here's the second thing. Not only do we see strength of character, him being a just man, him being a someone who is straight in his integrity, but Joseph showed strength to protect his family, all right? Every family needs a sacrificial leader. And Joseph became that leader, and Joseph was that leader. Now, in the angel's second appearance in chapter 2, look at that. This is Matthew chapter 2, and I'd like for you to look at verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. It seems like in our world today there are so many destructive forces after our sweet little children and after our young people. And it takes a father and a man with guts. And of course, let me add a lady in there with guts too, a woman in there, a mother in there. But it takes Joseph as our example today with the courage to do what it takes to protect his family. And so this second appearance, the angel asked Joseph to take a trip into a foreign country. Think about that. To go to a different place. It was a considerable distance. Every step to Egypt that Joseph took with Mary and the baby Jesus meant being farther from family. It meant being farther from his business. But it was necessary for the security of Jesus. And sometimes, men, we need to make decisions to show strength in the home to bring protection for the family. Well, the Lord, the angel, spoke to Joseph, and Joseph was inclined, had a tender heart, to do what the Lord wanted him to do. I think about fathers today. You may have to sacrifice some things to protect your family. You may have to make tough choices, difficult choices that maybe would be hard for you, but you do them because you do them for your family. You choose what is right instead of what is just popular. I heard the story of a young teenager that wanted to go. He was not an adult. He was a teenager, high school student. Wanted to rent a condo. rent a condo over at Crescent Beach. This was years and years ago I heard this story. It may be repeated over and over, I don't know. But this young man years ago wanted to rent a condo with his buddies. There were no adults there. And these were all good teenagers. They were fine teenagers, but they couldn't have rented it on their own. So they came to this dad and they said, "Dad, we want you to rent it for us, but we don't want you to be there. We've got other plans." And I remember in the midst of those friends of that boy, that dad and that mom too, they said, "I'm sorry, but we don't think that's a great idea." And they made a decision. What was interesting in the story was that later that young man, after his friends were gone, came to his mom and dad, said, "Mom and Dad, I want to thank you for having backbone, because it was hard for me to not to go along with my buddies on that, but I knew deep down inside that was not going to be a good situation." Sometimes dads, just part of it, you have to make tough decisions. Sometimes it means we take what is the spiritual over what is the material. I've told you before about a dear friend of mine who was very successful in business, and he was offered a promotion. It was at a very critical time in his family's life. His children were just getting into middle school age, and they were happy where they were serving the Lord, and they had great friendships with their kids. And this man was offered a great position in another place, but he had to move. And he made the decision to say, "You know what, I'm not going to take that position, because I feel like that at least right now my kids are headed in the right way spiritually." I'm not saying it would always, you know, wouldn't be right for somebody else to take that. But in this situation, he felt like it was very, very important that he stayed in that place. And by the way, one of those daughters of that young man served Jesus Christ, came to UF, and when years ago they were a part of this fellowship here and served the Lord in the youth ministry, making a difference in young people's lives. But sometimes as a dad, you've got to make decisions that protect your family, and that was what Joseph did. So Joseph showed his character. He showed strength in his character. The Bible says he was a just man. He was tender to the things of the Lord. He wanted his life to have a streak of integrity and character, and he wanted to be a straight shooter. The word just means to make straight, okay? He also showed strength in protecting his family and obeying the words of the angel that was giving him insight, ways he could protect the baby Jesus. But not only do we think about Joseph when we come right tight in there into the manger scene, but we think about Mary. And Mary shows us the heart of Christmas. I'd like you to look over at the book of Luke now. Go over to the story in Luke. And we'll go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Okay? Luke 1, 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoicing, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Verse 38 says this, "Then Mary said, 'Behold,'" this was a turning point, "'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." In Mary, we see a heart to receive God's favor. All right? We see in Mary a heart to receive God's favor. Do you have that kind of heart? Do I have that kind of heart to receive God's favor? Now, salvation involves yielding to God's will. This is what she was having to do. Was she going to yield to God's will? Mary shows us the heart of Christmas because deep down inside in her heart, she was willing to yield to the will of God. We must be willing to yield. The scripture says in verse 28, "Highly favored one." The word favored there is the word for grace. Highly graced one, okay? It means to make accepted. The angel was saying, you are being accepted. You are the highly favored one. You are the highly graced one. I want you to look at verse 30 in the passage there. "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found,'" there's that word again, "favor." Now that word means that you are the recipient of favor, not the dispenser. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we share the Christmas message, but we're not the dispenser of grace, right? We're not the dispenser of grace. Only God can dispense that grace. We are the recipient of grace. And this is what he was saying, "Highly favored one, you are a recipient of that grace." And then the Bible says she was troubled. She was disturbed about it all. And then in verse 29, it says that she contemplated or considered what manner of greeting this was. And every man, every woman, every boy, every girl has to contemplate the grace of God. Will you receive the grace of God? Will you receive what Jesus Christ is offering you? And so here she was contemplating this. Now in verse 34, it says this, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" In other words, it did not make sense. How could she become pregnant with a baby? It doesn't make sense. And then you think about this. What would people think? How would people respond that were in her life? But ultimately, Mary accepts God's will in verse 38. In verse 38, it begins, "Then Mary said, 'Behold,'" and the word "behold" is her saying, "See, look at me, behold, look at me." She was saying to God, "Lord, here I am." And then it says, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I am a bondservant of the Lord. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." That means a bondservant. "I'm here to serve you." And then one of the sweetest phrases that you find in the Christmas story is when she said this, "Let it be to me according to your word." That really is, that is the challenge of Christmas. "Let it be to me according to thy word." I love that song we just sang, "Here I am, send me." You know, when Jesus comes in, normally it involves being sent somewhere. Those that are recipient of God's grace are sent somewhere. They're sent to a neighbor. They're sent to a family member. They're sent to another nation. But the Lord is in the business of sending. He's in the business of sending. And oftentimes, when we yield, truly yield our hearts and lives to the Lord, there is something involved in us going and sending. And so she said, "Let it be to me according to thy word." And that phrase means to put at one's disposal. In other words, Mary said, "Lord, I'm at your disposal. All that I am and all that I have is yours. You do with me what you want to do," okay? And that really is the challenge for every believer. Are we willing to be put at God's disposal and to be used in the way that he wants to use us? The heart of Christmas is that God can take the ordinary and make something beautiful out of the ordinary. And that's what the Lord did in the life of Mary. So we see Mary, she had a heart. We see her as the heart of Christmas. She had a heart to receive God's favor. But then the last thing is she had a heart to worship the Savior. Because what ends up happening in Luke chapter 1 in verses 46 and following is what is known as Mary's Magnificat, Mary's song of praise. After she yielded her heart and her life to God's will and said, "Let it be according to thy will," all of a sudden worship sprang up, and she had a heart to worship the Savior. She had a heart to worship the Lord God. And that's what happens to us when Jesus comes in. It's like your singing is different. That's one reason I love music, and I love when we sing. And oftentimes you can tell a lot about a church by the way it sings. If you're singing a song about the Lord, and you look out there and it's like this, it looks like we woke up and the first thing we did was grab the dill pickle and stuck it in our mouth. I mean, that is not a good picture of someone who has said, "Lord, let it be to me according to thy word." But when you surrender, there's joy. And this is such a joyous time that we should lift. That's one reason next Sunday night is going to be so powerful. The enthusiasm and the contagiousness of the gospel of Jesus is found in music. And when we lift it up, it's to praise and adore the Lord. Well, this is exactly what happened to Mary after she surrendered. We must think about what Jesus has done. We must worship the Lord at Christmas. Now, I'm not going to read it all and go through all of it, but she says in verse 46, "My soul." The word soul in the Bible means the immaterial part of man. This is the old flesh, okay? Well, I'm not going to do that. This is the old flesh, but that's the body. But she says, "My soul," that's deep down inside. That's the real you deep down inside. "My soul magnifies the Lord." The word magnify means to make great. She's bragging on Jesus. She is in love with the Lord, in love with God. And it says in verse 48, it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the God of my Savior." And then look at this word "regarded" in verse 48. "For he has regarded." That word means to gaze. It's a word for eyesight that deals with eyes. And it says, "For he has regarded." That means the Lord has looked upon me. And when he looked upon me, it says in verse 48, "He regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." So he noticed the sinful way. And you know why? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem mankind. He came for the ultimate glory of God to redeem mankind. And why did he come? Because of our sin. Because they had all the Old Testament sacrifices, and every Old Testament sacrifice was a reminder that those sacrifices didn't work forever because they had to keep coming back and doing them. But when Jesus came, it was once and for all finished, as he said on the cross. So it says in verse 48 that he noticed her lowly estate. And then look at verse 50. It says, "And his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation." The word mercy is a regard for the misery of the consequences of sin. God has shown us mercy because, folks, honestly, truthfully, with no Christmas, where would we be? With no Christmas, what would our life be like? With no Jesus in Calvin Carr, where would I be? I'd be in a mess. Every good thing I have in this world is a result of what Jesus Christ has brought into my life. Every good thing and every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Bible says. And so He says, "You've showed me." She says, "You've showed me mercy. It's a regard for the misery of the consequences of sin." They asked a great theologian one time. They said, "What is the greatest thought you've ever had?" And everybody just leaned forward. He thought for a minute, and he said this: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's a pretty amazing thought. You know me. Maybe not everybody here knows me as well as others, but I know some of you. It's pretty amazing. Jesus loves me just the way I am. And Jesus, if I will turn from my way and reject all the times I've made decisions based on my own wisdom, it's ended up in a bad situation. But because of, if I turn from that way and give my life to Jesus Christ, then Jesus will save me and he will change me. There's that song, "Strange Way to Save the World," or "Mary, Did You Know," I think is the title of it. That song always gets me. One of the lines says, "Why me?" Talking about Joseph. "I'm just a simple man of trade." Joseph was a simple man of trade, and yet the angel spoke to Moses and said that Mary is going to have the Son of God. And then he said, "Why him?" Talking about Jesus. "With all the rulers of the world." I mean, there was Caesar Augustus, and yet God was going to change the world with a baby in a manger. And then the song says, "Why here inside a stable filled with hay?" And then it says this about Mary: "Why me? I'm just an ordinary girl." Well, God is in the business of using ordinary people to change the world, and he did that in the life of Mary. So how did they become the strength and the heart of Christmas? They did that because they were surrendered. And church family, that is really the message that these passages are all about. Are we going to say like Mary, "Let it be to me according to thy word"? Are we going to do like Joseph, and when the angel gives direction, we're going to follow that direction and show that strength? Now, I talk often about the impact of Jim and Elizabeth Elliott on myself and Kelly and our family, missionaries to Ecuador, and their lives were taken by the Alca Indians there on that beach. They gave their lives in missions. What is an interesting, and I have this written in the front of one of my Bibles. There was someone that impacted Elizabeth Elliott when she was a little girl, and her name was Elizabeth Howard at the time. And there was a lady named Betty Scott. She ended up marrying John Stamm, who was a missionary to China. And when Betty was a little girl, she met this other teenager that was about to be an adult and go overseas. And then as she grew, she realized that John and Betty Stamm were martyred. They were killed. And Elizabeth Elliott here, being back in the States, she thought about that. She was just a little girl when that happened. I think she was 8 years old. But she says in her writing, she says, "I realized that's what discipleship was, being willing to yield myself to Jesus." Well, she found a prayer that Betty Scott had written, and I just want to read this to you, and it so impacted her, and I think it's powerful for us today. What kind of life do you have that is like Joseph and Mary in the sense of them being the strength of Christmas and them being the heart of Christmas? Here's what that 18-year-old girl, Betty Scott, wrote. She said, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to thee, to be thine forever. Fill me and send me." We talked about sending. We sang about it. Fill me and send me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. And work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. Such a special time when you think about Christmas and what it means to us, the manger scene and all the characters. But there is an amazing sermon in every Christmas story. And the sermon is this: will we respond the same way that the characters in the manger responded? Will we respond the way Joseph responded when the angel spoke to him and he was obedient and showed that strength? Will we respond the way Mary responded and say, Lord, as a result of Jesus coming, I want to say to you, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's a yieldedness to the Lord. And could I dare say to you that that is the challenge of the Christian life? And that is, will we make Jesus Lord? Will we truly turn over our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? Be it unto me, Mary said, according to thy word. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.